I love the last song, "How Great Thou Art." Sometimes we have to go back. Because sometimes we lose focus. And so that is such an awesome song. And although it's a very old song, it still says the right things. So how great thou art. So over the last couple of weeks, and I must say it has taken me a couple of weeks. Maybe because I'm slow. Don't know. But maybe just because I needed to just take it in. So God has just led me back to John, the book of John. And I started reading the book of John, and every time I read it, I had to go back and I had to say, I missed something. So then I would read it again. And you know, the nice thing about today and cell phones and everything, so instead of listening to the radio and all the negative news and everything that's going on, I put my phone on, I connect it to Bluetooth. Those of you who don't have Bluetooth in your cars yet, it's time for an upgrade. So I put it on and I listen to it again. And on my way to work, I drive 80 kilometers an hour, not because I don't want to get to work, which is one, but because I wanted to listen to this again. And on my way to work, I listen to it again, and then I think, okay, I get it. And then as I drive on and I get to work, the day gets busy and I realize I didn't get it. So on my way back home again, I read through it, I listen to it, and then tonight before I go to bed, I think, shucks, I don't get this. I really need the Holy Spirit to really open it up to me and then just share it with me again. And then I read it again. So it took me about 6 chapters. I'm going to have to redo chapter 6 again because I still don't get it. But the thing is, I just all of a sudden realized that as children of God, we need to be reminded of who we are and why we believe. Because the main reason for us to sometimes get sidetracked, and I think Steve had 3 categories that he sometimes our walk with God divided into, but then I thought about it is that sometimes we just miss it. We totally miss it. So even in our prayer time when we pray, we miss it. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we miss it because it is not that glaring obvious as 1 + 1. Am I right, my accountant? It's not always as glaring. We do accounts. And because I run a certain section of ArcelorMittal, we have a meeting every week on the accounts. And then I have plenty of questions for the accountants because Microsoft Excel can do wonders. And then I have to, where did you get this? How did you get that? Why did you do this? And then the explanations sometimes are a little bit wayward. And then I think, everybody's assumption is sometimes different from what the reality is. The fact is we're losing money. Why are we trying to make it look good? But that's accountants for you. They can always put a spin on something on a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. And then sometimes if you're not wide awake, you might even miss it. But for me, I just realized going through John again that sometimes we miss it. So today we're going to do a couple of scriptures. So we're going to jump through John because we have to understand who we are in Christ. We have to understand that Christ is the pinnacle. It's the our existence is around what Christ has done and the Son of God, and that we don't miss that, because if we miss that, we miss why we are here. And so let's go to John chapter 1. And we're going to read from John 1, from 1 to 14. And it says the following. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. See, if you skip that, if you read through it too fast because you are doing your Bible study, and part of your Bible study is to read the Word of God, then you miss that. Because just before you go to bed tonight, which I think is the worst thing that you can do, is to try and do Bible study just before you go to bed. And between the 10,000 yawns you give, you miss half the Word. Sometimes, I think as children of God, and personally for myself, I realized that I've been reading the Word of God my whole life. In fact, we were brought up in a Christian home, sent to Sunday school, sent to youth, and you kind of get used to the routine of being a Christian. And then all of a sudden, one night, one Monday night, we had youth on a Monday night, and we had an evangelist in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And this guy was on fire. We loved him. He brought the Word just in a way that anybody, but this is nothing unlike that I have not seen my whole life. And forever I believed that I was a child of God because, hey, I went to church. I attended church. I was in youth. I was in Sunday school. And then we were ushers in the church. We did communion and we handed out communion. So I was just a good Christian guy growing up. Very nice. So I listened to the Word and in Sunday school, I questioned the teachers because I think sometimes they misread the Bible. So I was very judgmental sitting there as well, instead of correcting them as well as a child and as a teenager. And I hated Sunday school. Because every time when I was in Sunday school, the teacher would run to my mom and my dad, "Greg did not sit still again in church." And I thought, what the hell is that? When I get home, sorted out, 1, 2, 3, done. And that never deterred me from going to church because I loved going to church. I didn't like the Sunday school teacher, but I loved going to church. So one day I was in youth, before I even realized that I had tears, apart from when you get a hiding, I was standing in church, and we were youth. We were praise and worship was awesome when you're young. Eh? When you're youth and you're in church, praise and worship is awesome. We were singing, we were praising God as per normal, and then the evangelist came up. Funny thing is, this week I realized when I really gave my life to the Lord. Do you know that I never knew until this week when I started pondering about this Word of God. And then I realized, when did that happen for me? And then all of a sudden this morning I realized when that happened for me. So it took me a good month and a bit to realize when that happened for me. So it was on a Monday night. And he was preaching, and that evening I realized that I didn't know Christ. I knew about him. I knew of him. I knew all the hymns and the choruses and sang very loudly and "How Great Thou Art" and you name it, but I didn't know him. Not personally, I didn't. And as a teenager, I remember that night I broke down in tears. And where it came from, heaven knows. I know now it was the working of the Holy Spirit. But I was in tears. I was crying. I didn't know what was coming over me. Because I've been doing this my whole life. It was routine. But that night, I realized that I didn't know Christ. And I so much wanted to know him. That night, I committed my life to the Lord. And I said, "Lord Jesus, here I am. I don't know what I was up to, but here I am. I don't know what lies ahead, but here I am. I no longer just want to play church. I want to be church." There's a vast difference between going to church and being church, I realized all of a sudden. And since that day, I was involved in Sunday school ministry, youth ministry, among my friends. I could now all of a sudden justify why I was a child of God. Previously, it was just head knowledge. But if you read through this, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word." But when you get to the point, "The light In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. All of a sudden I realized, my goodness, that is when I experienced the life in me. The very life. That John chapter 1, verse 4 became reality to me on that specific day, and it has not changed. But the world, when I look at the world and I look at the day to day and the strife, then I sometimes realize I lose a little bit of focus to this light. And it's important to actually start getting back into the Word, understanding the Word, and getting back to letting the Holy Spirit reveal so that it becomes real inside. Because if it is not real, it's make-believe. And I don't want a make-believe religion. I don't want a make-believe love for Christ. I want to have a love for Christ because I know that He is the light of the world. But let's continue. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. So when I read that, I automatically know that I'm being set free. I'm being set free from anxiety. I'm being set free from all sorts of mental illness. I'm set free because of this light that shines into darkness. So it's very important for us as children of God to realize who we are in Christ. It is very important for us to get back to the point where we know we've given our lives to Christ so that we can get out of this habit of playing church. Because playing church is death. But having a life in Christ is life. And so when I continue to read and read and read and read and say, Holy Spirit, I still don't get it. I realized that the Word became more and more and more alive to me. So much so that I could remember where this life began. And I'll explain a little bit why that is important for me. And I think as children of God, it's important to understand when that life began. And if you have not had that encounter, to get to that encounter, because that's where life begins when we receive Christ. We don't just receive church, we receive Christ because it's about Christ. It's not about me and you. It's not just about this world. It is about Christ. And if we read in John chapter 1, and we continue from verse 16, he came to that which was his own, which is us. But his own did not receive him. Yet, in verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will. I love that. I kind of understood that immediately. And for all the children in the church, we will not go into the details of that. But that the spiritual understanding of that. But born of God. Born of God. Can I read that again? Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the rights to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. You know, one of my most favorite scripture in the Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and plan not to harm you, but give you hope in the future. One of my most favorite scriptures. In this past month, this became reality to me when I read this. Because then it became real to me. Because I know that God has plans for me, but when I read John chapter 1 and it says he's given the right for me to be called a child of God, not born of natural descent, all of a sudden I understood it better. I understood it better because if he said it in the Old Testament, it's reality in the New Testament, because he's saying that it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter where you come from. Because God has predestined you. Because of Christ Jesus, because of Christ coming to this world, God has predestined you. Now I no longer am just the child of Maria and Leonard Walters. I am a child of God. God has predestined this for me. There is a purpose behind. Why is there a purpose? So all of a sudden I go back to Genesis chapter 1. When God said, let there be light, Uncle Robbie. God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was the sun and the moon, and God has placed them there for a purpose. Is it not so? That's why we have the seasons. It's now the seasons are changing. Joshua took out a jacket, and when we got to church, the sun was shining. But the fact is, God said, let there be light. There was no, God did not create it for nothing. God created it solely for a purpose. Now I understand that when I was created and you were created, Uncle Robbie, God created us for a purpose. There are no mistakes in this world. I will give you two testimonies just now when I'm done. Just remind me that I share this with you, because it fulfills that God has called us as his disciples. So when we step out in Matthew chapter 28 and we go make disciples of the whole world, there is a purpose why we exist. And each and everyone is different. I cannot be a Steve. I cannot be a Bram. I cannot be an accountant. I never understand them. And do you understand what I'm trying to say? Is that God has created us individuals, each and every one. I cannot be a Joshua, but Joshua is on his own. God created him for a purpose. We might not always understand, but the fact is that because we are children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will. I love not of human decision, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's go to John chapter 2 and verse 5. So in John chapter 2, this is the story or the account of Jesus changing water into wine. So at this wedding, the wine ran out. And Mary, Jesus' mother, comes to the front. And she comes to Jesus, and Jesus, why? This is not my hour. It didn't say that Mary argued with him. It only says, what I love, this is so awesome. And Mary turned around and she said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now look, as for many years, I've looked at this portion of scripture and I only saw that Jesus turned water into wine. So I could be very rich if I could do that in South Africa. But I only saw that. It's a miracle. Jesus turned water into wine. It never dawned upon me how much power was behind the words that Mary uttered. Mary said, do whatever he tells you. And then it struck me that Mary did not say this because she was just a churchgoer. No. Mary was a believer. You see, there is no power behind your words unless you believe. There is no way if you go into prayer and you say, Father, we are going through financial difficulty. Lord, intervene. And I don't believe. My prayer carries no weight whatsoever because I don't believe. What don't I believe in? See, Mary was very direct. Mary said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. He, Jesus, whatever Jesus tells you to do, you do that. Then I realized, my goodness, if I can start applying this word in my life and say, I will do whatever Jesus tells me, instead of running around seeking advice all over the show. There's nothing wrong with advice. The problem is if I don't bring it to the throne so I can get the clearance or the final say, because Jesus is just the final say. Jesus said, I will send you someone just like me, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that each and every one of us can receive, will receive, have received. Just like me, I will send you. I don't have to go look for guidance anywhere else. All I have to do is to do what Jesus tells me what to do. And the result of that is nothing short of a miracle. The result of me going to Christ and doing exactly what he tells me to do is nothing short of a miracle. And now I'll share the two testimonies with you. So yesterday I had the fortune because it's my wealth. I was fortunate, but it was my fortune. I realize this more. The more I have to deal with people that has come across my life, I believe it's my fortune. No one can count it. The blessing cannot be counted by mere money. It's my fortune. It's God given. It's spiritually inspired. So this young man who's gone hungry many a times, that I've known for years, has worked in gardens, whatever piece job he could get. He says to me, can I bring my car to you? And I start to smile. Not because of jealousy, not because of envy, but because, wow, that guy was begging for bread. I was fortunate enough to speak and to have a say and have something to do in his life. Phones me and says, can I come and bring you my car? Look, he comes there with his car and he said, man, you must see the pride in this guy's face. First time in his life, he is as happy as can be. And I stand there and I say, thank you, Jesus. Because I know his history. I know where he comes from. I know he went to bed hungry at times. And I see how God has turned his life because he listened. And I look at his car. He came with a very thirsty car there. He came with a Ford Falcon 4-liter, straight six, first car. But he's proud. It's got all the bells and whistles. Half of them is not working, but he's proud. The car goes well. In fact, he came and he says, no, don't you want to drive it first? And then tell me, because, look, that's my background. He says, don't you want to drive it? See, what do you see? Let's do. And I got into his car and I drove it. And I think I drove the car. And he looked at me. So no, I have to do this. I have to check if everything is fine. And the car was fine. You must see this guy smile when I said to him, I can't find anything majorly wrong with this. He smiled. And as I drove home, I said, thank you, Jesus. And as I pulled in, we quickly checked everything and I said, your wipers need to be replaced. The back brake light's not working. Right, this is what you do. So I wrote it down for him. I said, you go to James Spares there in town. You get these things. You come and I'll show you how to put it back in. In the meantime, I'm baking as well and I'll tell you about the baking story just now. So anyway, so off he comes. He puts in his, his light. I show him how he did it wrong. I said, no, take it out. Let me show you. And then he take it out again. I showed him how he puts it back. But you must see the pride in this guy. He says, no, no, no. My wife wants to go to church in Hopis on next week, Easter weekend. So I'm going to make sure everything is fine when we go there. And I said, thank you, Jesus. You see, it's only God, through Christ Jesus, that can turn somebody's life around like that. It's not Greg, it's not Uncle Rob, it's not any of us that can do that. It's only purely by obedience. If we listen and if we heed the calling of the Holy Spirit to intervene, that we don't just walk by, we get involved. That is when we will experience the power of God at work. Do whatever He tells you to do. Do that. Tell what He tells you to do, do that. And then you will see the miracles come, because Christ is true to His word. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. Is it not so? It's by the physical application of His word and taking it and not saying, can it not be? No. You say, it is God's word. It is the truth. I will apply it and you will see the blessings come. Do whatever He tells you to do. So, finish the car, finish the baking, all in a rush, get ready, me and Josh, off we go. We're going to take a young lady's, she ordered cupcakes this time. Couldn't afford it for a very long time. I was very fortunate. It's my fortune to be involved. And when I first met this young lady, she was depressed. Because things in her life is not going the right way. Every time that there is a job, it falls through the cracks. Every time there's an opportunity, it falls flat. She fell pregnant when she was still young, and the guy left her. And she raised, with her mom, raised this child. At times, I listened to her conversations because she was in the car. I gave her a lift to work. I listened to the conversation. And I realized that she's afraid to speak to her mom because she feels that she's disappointed her mother. And she really just wanted to do good, but she's made a mess of the life. And one day she broke down in tears in the car, and I pulled off, and we sat there and we spoke. She is a child of God, but she's gone through much and she's forgotten what a great God we serve. How great thou art. She's missed that. And we had a long conversation in the car. And as she gone on, I've seen how God has, from a failing diploma to getting her diploma. She's busy with a higher diploma. Her plan is to get to do her degree. She's now a candidate technician within AMSA, and she's doing well. She saved us millions of rands. I think if I have to tell you this, she's just so focused. So, and here she was with the whole family. Everybody from KwaZulu-Natal. They're standing there. In the courtyard, she booked the guest house. She stood there. I took the cupcakes because she wanted to treat her family to some cupcakes. Some of you would know why. She wanted to treat her family to some cupcakes. Little girls, her own daughter was there, and her brother, her mother, aunt, everybody's there, but she's extremely proud. And I looked at her, and I saw somebody redeemed. I saw somebody who's no longer carrying the burdens. I saw somebody who has now, as the one thing that I said to her the other day was, what I love to see in her now is that she has come to be herself in Christ. You know, we have been called only to do whatever He tells us to do. And when we do that, the stories will abound. I'm telling you, there will be not enough books that you will be writing about the goodness of God if you step out and just take God's word for what it says and let the Holy Spirit reveal so that you can live in accordance with that. You will see what God can do through you. Needless to say, the water was turned into wine. He said to them, to the servants, fill it up. Stone water jars, fill it up with water. And he turned it into wine. So much so that it was said that normally you would put out the worst wine the good wine first. And as people has had enough to drink, you bring out the worst. No, the best wine was after Jesus turned it into wine. And that is what we can experience as children of God. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. And it reads as follows. Jesus replied. This is now a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. And Jesus is engaging Nicodemus at this point. And Jesus in verse number 3 says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Nicodemus then goes on and says, do I get back into my mom's tummy and then be born again? Because, and Jesus is asking him, but you're a well-learned man. You are a teacher of Israel. Let's go to John chapter from verse 5. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. We're going to come back to that. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, my goodness. So a geography lesson mixed there with a spiritual lesson took me a while to get my head around it. So I tell you, this has been a very, very active mind over the last month when it came to the Word of God. The wind blows wherever it comes. So is the Spirit. And I didn't get it. So until I read John chapter 4. So when at first you don't succeed, try and try again. But let's go back to John chapter 3. Verse 16. Let's get back to the reason today is Palm Sunday. I googled this as well. Today is Palm Sunday. It is the day that Mary Magdalene took a very expensive perfume oil. Everybody was upset about it. And Jesus was ready to go into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, just as the scriptures have foretold. This is what Palm Sunday is all about. And this week, basically, is everybody getting ready to celebrate Easter, the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And if you read Google and you go into AI, and it's dead. Go and read it. You'll see for yourself. Because the Spirit is within you, you'll see. It's a very dead explanation. As if Christ is still dead. Which is not the case. As children of God, we know this. We realize that. This is the foundation that we stand on. Is that Christ came so that He could die for our sins, so that we might have life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And many a times this is misconstrued into the fact that we think, no, if I give my life to Christ, I'll go to heaven one day, because that is eternal life. Whereas we've already received, when we receive Christ, we receive life. Right where we are, we have received it. We are already seated in the heavenly realms. We are already at the table. We don't have to wait till we die, till we get it. We have it. We must live like we receive the kingdom. Not like, we must live because we receive the kingdom. We already have life. We don't start living when we die. We died when we gave our lives to Christ. We are resurrected with Him and we received life so that we can step out and do what is good, whatever He tells us what to do. Because the flesh, what is the alternative? Good works. Am I right, Steve? Good works. Steve preached on it. I listen, good works. What's the alternative? The alternative is good works, because our good works, we want to do good. The world also want to do good. Or at least some of the world wants to do good. But we don't just want to do good. The flesh gives birth to flesh, and the spirit to spirit. When Jesus said that we will receive someone just like Him, He was talking about the Holy Spirit. If we then want to know what it is that we need to do, we need to draw closer and listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that, because there's basic stuff, right? There are basic stuff in life, because this is always the argument. When you start, people are waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell them to love others. No. That's not. You know, people are waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell them to not swear. I mean, come on. There are basic stuff that the Holy Spirit doesn't have to waste time on anymore, isn't it? If you are lying all the time, then you better stop it, because it's not from God. Am I right? You don't need the Holy Spirit to remind you. And sometimes, unfortunately, we get into such a predicament that the Holy Spirit needs to come and rescue us from there. It's true. No, it's true. I see many Christian people being caught up in gambling. They fall into a trap, and then the Holy Spirit needs to come and rescue them from there. The word was not good enough. The truth was not good enough. They still got entangled into it, and the Holy Spirit had to rescue them from it. So we sometimes find ourselves in things that we should have not been involved in the first place, and then the Holy Spirit, God, has to come and rescue us from it. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, the bigger things, the places, the areas where we have to make a difference, where do whatever He tells us to do, the flesh gives birth to flesh, because there's an ulterior motive. The Spirit to Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something and you do it, then it gives birth to Spirit. There's a blessing that comes from it. It is not for my own good. It is because the Holy Spirit has shared it. And I go out and I do it. It doesn't matter whether it's popular or unpopular. And let me use this as an example. At work, where I am, I'm a senior manager. So there's somebody in this group that is pulling wayward as always at work, it happens. And everybody starts to bad mouthing this person. You as a senior manager, you have a choice, isn't it? You have a choice to jump on board or not on board. Or you can say, Holy Spirit, Father God, what is it that you want to do in this person's life? And how are you going to use me to get involved? There are day-to-day things, very simple things that happen. It's easy to hate the family member that always does the wrong. Is it not so? It's more difficult to say, Father, what is it that you want to do in that person's life? See, God has called us to do good. Not good works that is birthed in flesh because I want to be seen, but good works that are prompted by the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, the more you ask the Holy Spirit to intervene, the more the Holy Spirit will. The Holy Spirit is not coming in, breaking down doors, fighting with you. No, the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is ask. When you ask, the Holy Spirit will do. So do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Mary believed. He was not just her son, but she knew who he was, apart from just a son. Jesus was the Son of God, and Mary knew it. Mary knew what he was coming to do. So do whatever he tells you to do. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. From verse 10. So Jesus is busy talking to a Samaritan woman. They don't normally get along, the Jews and the Samaritans. But Jesus didn't come here to be the win the Nobel Prize for a Jew. Jesus came to save the world. So he was talking to the Samaritan woman. And he's asking her for water. And she has this long-winded excuse. So I want to skip all of that because that's what we always make it of. But verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink. That's a total, Jesus would not say that about Mary, am I right? Because Mary knew. But now this woman does not know. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Let's skip everything else and let's go to chapter 13. Verse 13, sorry. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will come in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Listen to the woman's reply. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water. This morning, we need to have a thirst for this water. As children of God, we need to have a thirst after this living water. There is no way that we will be effective as children of God if we do not thirst after this living water, who is Christ himself working through the Holy Spirit, we will not be effective. You will not, I will not overcome if it is not for this water. You know what happens? What is so fascinating of what happens is that at that instance, this woman runs into her town because she had that encounter with Christ. She goes into town. She says, come. And the Bible says, in that day, many came to believe. This is a woman that Christ came. Christ had that encounter with her. She says, Lord, give me this water. Because she had that thirst. And because she received it right there and then, she went into town and says, come. Come experience this man that knows everything about me. See, Christ, God knows everything about us. He knows everything about us. There's nothing that he does not know. You name it, he knows it. Because he created you. He is not asleep. He is not sleeping somewhere on a nice cozy bed. He's aware of everything that you are encountering. And she says, Lord, give me this water. That day, she received it. That very moment, she went out. Here's the results. I love the fact that I think I read it a little bit different. Because the result of her obedience is many of the people in a town getting saved. This is now Jews and Samaritans, not sitting around the one table. But Christ was not bothered about Jew or Samaritan. Christ was bothered about her. Christ is bothered about you. Christ is bothered about me. And if only we would do what he tells us to do. If only we would thirst for that water. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. You know what excites me more about the two testimonies that I've given you? What excites me more is the impact that they have on that young lady, the impact she has on her family. Because they see the turnaround, they wonder what's going on, and she's drawing them close. I love that. Because the impact that you have on one individual has far greater consequence for the good in Christ Jesus than just that one individual. Lucas is taking his whole family to church next week Sunday. He's taking his whole family in that car. That's big enough. But he's taking all of them. The impact on one person's life that we could have has a far greater impact on others. The impact Christ had on the life of the disciples has had a far-reaching outreach to the rest of the world. This is why the world knows Christ. It's because of that. The impact that God can have in your life, in the lives of others, if you just say, yes, Lord, has a far-reaching impact. I want to encourage you this morning. I am going to end it right here. I have much more to share. I must be honest. And I can tell you, I'm excited for what still lies ahead. When I read the portion of the Samaritan woman, and I always read it from Christ touched their lives. I did not realize even further than that the lives that she impacted on because of Christ. Then I realized, I said, Lord, I want more of that. I love this. I quite enjoy this, the feedback that I get, the how you change people's lives. I love that. I want to see more of that. But now I need to know. I need to ask more. The more I ask, the more I will receive. The more I seek, the more I will find. As children of God, we've been called into the kingdom. We are children of God. We have a shared vision with Christ. Have you ever thought about it like that? We have a shared vision with Christ. We have a shared vision with Christ. Man, man, that's awesome. I have a shared vision with Christ. No longer flesh, but in the spirit. I have a shared vision with Christ. The more people I touch, the more people will be touched. I will not see it. I will not know it. I might not even hear about it. But I know that if Christ touches someone's life, that it will have far-reaching impact. I was just fortunate enough that I saw it. Yeah, the Holy Spirit allowed. I saw it yesterday. And I thought, wow. I drove off there. I just said, wow. Wow. The impact that we have. It never struck me like that. Delve into the Word of God. You know, you wanna get out of the groove that you're in? Delve into the Word of God. Seek Him with all your heart. You will find Him. This is as children of God. This is who we are supposed to be. Seeking God, seeking Him. Do whatever He tells us to do. And we will see the rewards, not just now, not just today, not just when I feel okay, not just when I'm at my happiest, but every single day of my life. Even if I'm at my worst, I draw near to Him, because when I draw near to Him, I receive His joy. I'll get out of the slump that I'm in. That's biblical. Go and read it. Let's seek Him. That's the word for today. Let's seek Him. Let's know who we are in Christ. Let's understand why Christ came. And you know what? Somewhere along the line, if you've kind of lost it, you kind of lost direction, seek Him. And you will find Him. If you seek Him with all your heart. Amen. Let's pray. And after I've prayed, we can partake in communion. Father God, we thank You and we praise You and we glorify Your holy name. For You are God. Let us be like a Mary who says, whatever He tells you to do, do it. Father, we just thank You that we can receive life, life in abundance. Thank You, Father, that we are Your children. Thank You, Heavenly Father God, that You sent Your Son. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You did sacrifice Your life so that we might have life. And when we received You, we received life. And we want to thank You and we want to praise You and we want to glorify Your name. As we partake in the communion, Lord Jesus, remind us that it was Your body that was broken on the cross of Calvary. Your body was broken so that we might receive healing. Your blood flowed on the cross of Calvary so that we might be cleansed, washed, and all our sins be forgiven. So that when we partake, we know, Lord, that we can give You the glory for what You've done on the cross so that we might have life and have it abundantly. So Lord, as we partake, we pray that You will bless it. You will bless it to each and everyone that partakes this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen.